non-start trouble. Nobody's going to announce tomorrow. The results are not correct. If that happens, people will be provoking.
You're dealing with Jacob Zuma. Every stage is a theater for him.
Floyd will be a minister of finance if they agree, these people, because...
The EFF and the ANC could still come together, possibly not if they make sure Floyd Chivambu, the Minister of Finance, as we have heard that demand.
If you come to us with a demand that Ramaphosa must step down as a president, that is not going to happen.
The broader question is whether our foreign policy has completely lost its way.
The people of Palestine, they're denied the right to enjoy the freedoms we so love.
That is a no-go area.
I'm Khotatso Madisa, and this is the Sunday Times Politics Weekly. We are joined by the Gauteng Premier, Banyaza Lesufi, who delivered his State of the Province address this week, and we're just going to touch a bit on that. Maybe, Premier, just to start off on a relaxed front, yeah, so that we are both relaxed in this conversation.
Sure.
It's been a very interesting period leading up to this State of the Province address. I just want to know, have you had time to go and do your... I've been told that you fly drones on your, on your spare time.
Yeah,
have you had time to do that?
And there's a new... Firstly, let me thank you and also appreciate this opportunity to engage with your readers. Truly appreciate that. I'm a fanatic of technology. Drones continue to amaze me, but the workload has unfortunately kicked out that habit out of me, and I really regret. If there's something that I regret being in office, is that aspect. I followed every generation of drones.
Okay.
And there have been two new generation of drones have not participated. So can you say I'm going to be old school by the time I go there? The fortunate part is that even the old generation can still fly them.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fanatic of football as well. Unfortunately, my soccer team, Swallows, has decided to fold. And it's something that hurts me, and purely because I didn't have time for it. It's something that... I appreciate it's something that keeps me busy and it excites me. But this government of provincial unity to establish it, I paid a heavy price of my life. So I can't fly drones. I don't follow soccer anymore. But it's part of life.
Yeah, and leading up to that government of provincial unity.
Yeah.
It was a tough time. I mean, for instance, you guys probably didn't expect to get the numbers that received here.
Even though our research was pointing towards that direction, we invested lots of energy to turn it around. I mean, you know, we introduced energy solutions, we introduced crime-fighting strategies, we introduced job creation strategies, because the research was really pointing us towards that direction. Maybe it was too late, but voters have humbled us. So we just need to accept and plan around that and work around it so that we can turn the corner. And the speech yesterday was nothing else but a roadmap for that, to say all the issues that voters have identified from the 29th of May, we went to action immediately that night, to be quite frank. Because when we got results for slips from our volunteers on the ground, it was clear that we were losing the elections.
Okay.
So we just, instead of feeling sorry for ourselves that we're losing elections, what kind of plans do? So that is why you can see from the announcement that we've made, we literally crisscrossed what I can say are friendly forces of investors, Vodacom, AXA, Transnet, which are big institutions that have big budgets. We knocked to say, assist us, you know, this thing of job creation. It's something that our voters have punished us on. Can you come on board and assist us? And we're quite excited, especially with AXA, 6 billion investment is massive. And for them to say, we will... not for political reasons, but for the economic reasons of our province. We'll come in and support you. Vodacom is bringing 3 billion just to reconfigure the ICT infrastructure in our province, which is big as well. We are working on the Gautrain expansion. We are putting our own 120 billion. We don't have it in our budget, but we're going for a private-public partnership. already there are 8 companies that are lining up. They want to fund that, which will create additional 15,000 or so jobs. We are also putting the Limpopo Gauteng train. That is massive. That will really create huge, huge opportunities. But we also went to the skills fund to say, you can have this investment. If you don't address two issues, which is the skills gap and crime, it will be meaningless. So we got 1.1 billion from the skills fund, and we also got 8 billion from UIF to reskill young people in our province and those that are unemployed. We are excited that that aspect is working very well. That is an aspect that will change the landscape of the unemployed in our province. Already, we asked the unemployed to send us their CVs to check which skills that they want. So 600,000 people have already done that.
Wow, okay.
So we are not starting afresh. We'll be in a position to have those skills training on board. But crime, you know, let's be honest, Khotatsu. I remember my first state of the province, I quoted you when you said, no, the issue of crime, just we're at the mercy of God. It's not that anything's been done. And that statement stuck with me, that it means criminals are now playing God. They can determine who lives, who die. And that can only be a rule in a jungle. It can't be part of life. And since your statement, we have put resources to push crime. Yesterday, we indicated we've given 250 new vehicles to the police. When you uttered that statement, you uttered. We didn't have helicopters. We've got 3 helicopters. When you uttered the statement, you uttered. We didn't have 11,000 CCTV cameras across the province. When you uttered what you said, we didn't have the panic buttons. We now have panic buttons. When you uttered your statement, we didn't have 7,000 young people that are now wardens. So we took that serious, and we are continuing to do that. We've got a new provincial commission of police. The mandate is very clear. So we'll continue to push back on crime as well.
And maybe just to take you back to the to the partnership with the private sector.
Yeah.
When I did my own calculation after your speech, it came up to about 14 billion. I mean, that's a huge,
That's a huge amount of money, actually. If you check those that we didn't mention, it can take us to almost 50 billion.
Okay.
Is that we didn't want to mention somebody who will say, you're still negotiating, we're not sure. We need a definite with timelines because people are tired. The trust deficit is too much. The trust deficit has been eroded. People don't even believe the things that you are saying. I mean, I go to the, I used to say it's a Twitter world. I don't know what it's called now. Is it the X world? And you see people that don't believe. They just feel that we are lying and misleading.
Why is that? I mean,
the trust deficit is gone.
But I'm saying since you came in Gauteng, it was clear that you are very popular.
Yeah.
Some people would even argue that sometimes not even more popular than the party in the province. But why is it still that even with the interventions that you've done, the crime wardens, all of this, the employment programs that you've run, why is it that you think...
The timing was wrong because people had an excuse that now he's doing that because elections are around the corner. And that defeated us. And that is why now we felt, let's put these plans up front. There are no elections. We are a new government. Let's put solid plans. But put plans that are tangible because of that trust deficit. You know, don't put plans that we are still going to, we're still meeting, we're still planning. Put something that is solid. I mean, Henekeng is giving us 3 billion. It's a fact. It's there. It's happening, you know. You have also a new food company that is coming to Midrand. It's a fact. They've identified Dubai. They've identified Mauritius as new markets for citrus food, as new market that can they can process and package some of these things. So it's exciting, and we've put that. But we're convening another investment forum because we don't want to sit on our laurels. The unemployment list, it's too much. But we're pleased that the last Labour quarterly report placed Gauteng above to say we are creating more jobs than any other province, you know, ourselves and Limpopo. So it means we are on the right track. But a report is something. Is the ground believing that report?
I doubt. That's what I wanted to come to say. These investments, your speech, for someone sitting at home in Tembisa without a job, what does this mean for them? What can they look forward to after your announcement?
Well, it's a double-edged sword. That is why the short-term employments are easy and people can see them. And we've done that. But they're not sustainable. I mean, I've got 32,000 young people that are on the street now because the contract has been terminated. So these long-term jobs, they take time to be realized. But they're very important because these are permanent jobs. I mean, let's take the question that we're raising of somebody in Tembisa. If that factory that I'm talking about of that is investing 300 million in Midrand, who will benefit? People of Tembisa, Ivory Park. But the bad thing with society is that when they're unemployed, the noise is heard. But when they get the opportunity, the noise is less. And then these opportunities are not visible. And I know why, because you don't want to alert your Mashonis and Saburo Nosekispana also. So that you can, But we really believe that we're on the right track.
And were you able to quantify in total the number of jobs that this will create? Because I ask this because there are some that will create 18,000 jobs, 1,000 jobs, 8,000 jobs, and then the expansion. You mentioned it will create over 100,000.
125,000.
You know, so I'm saying, have you been able to quantify that in this?
We did. You say in this political term, 540,000 jobs out of the announcement we made yesterday alone. So if, as I said, my view is that don't announce something that is not finalized because it fit to the sentiments of doubt. It fit to the sentiments of mistrust. So we announce those that we know were finalized. So there are others that are coming that are knocking. For example, you know, the repositioning of Harry Smith, Rustenburg, Sasolburg is going to create huge opportunities. So that is why we're saying that in terms of economics, we are bringing down the boundaries. We won't care that Harry Smith is in Free State, purely because where it's located, it's halfway Durban, halfway Bloemfontein, halfway Mpumalanga, halfway Joburg. And if you have an airport there for cargo, it's going to really create huge opportunities. And there are people around that area that either goes to Newcastle, then go to Ficksburg, that they can't fly purely because, and the state of the roads there is very bad. So if we can have an airport there, if we can have warehouses there for cargo, I mean, me and you and our children, I'm told that buying things online nowadays. So cargo is very key. It's very, very important, the logistic economy. So if we do that, we'll create more opportunities. But they're in the Free State. But who cares as long as we've created opportunities? Rustenburg is not growing to Mafikeng. Rustenburg can only grow towards Gauteng. I mean, to drive between Sandton to Rustenburg, it takes almost 45 minutes or 90 minutes. So somebody can stay in Gauteng and work in Rustenburg, which is northwest. So we can take opportunity of that. We need just transport linkages to construct new roads to take people to Rustenburg. It will be a huge economic spin-off for us. But let's be honest, Polokwane and Tshwane is starting to be one thing. And Polokwane might be in Limpopo, Tshwane in Gauteng. But go now, Friday, on that particular road.
Sure.
It's massive. So we need new ideas there. So that people must not wait to arrive in Polokwane. Between Polokwane and Tshwane, we need to create a new city there. We need to create new investment around there. It's a huge opportunity. New housing, new estates, new factories. So it's a huge, huge opportunity that we are taking advantage of. And we've done a screenshot of abundant strategic assets. You go to Bilabila, there is an airport there, abundant. You go to Harry Smith, the airport there is an informal settlement. You can zoom it now using Google Map. You'll see the informal settlement on the runway. So we want to go for that. And how many cities when you drive, you just drive over a railway line that is abandoned.
Okay.
That railway line had a purpose. So we are targeting those assets to reactivate those railway lines. So it's huge. I really believe with this, we'll break the backbone of unemployment. We don't just to be lazy and just follow the flow. We need to create the flow. And if we can create the flow, I'm of the view that will change and reposition our provinces, attracting investment. Obviously, the downside is that everyone will want to come here, which is a moving target. Then you don't know who now we're creating jobs for, because people look for how they want voters. They will say, ah, but where are these jobs? Because they've been taken over by other people. Okay. So we also need to balance that. And it's something that we're working very hard to do.
When you speak about people coming, well, that jobs will obviously attract them into the province. But now, you mentioned two things yesterday that I thought were very important. The revitalization of job activity, but also the program to stop informal settlement.
Yeah.
I think the both things are linked to, to what you're saying, that people will be more attracted, meaning more informal settlement. Can you maybe just briefly take us through?
Well, informal settlements are a major setback. I must be honest with you. You drive around R59, you'll see mushrooming of informal settlement. It does not mean you can't build houses, but really you can't just everyone coming here. And that affects what? Education budget, because children must go to school. It affects your water budget because people must have water. And if it's not planned, it's become disruptive because you don't know who come tomorrow, which new informal settlement will happen. So we've invested in a new technology. It's a geospace based on satellite that if you put a new informal settlement today, we'll pick it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and we'll stop it.
Do you not think that it will have a negative impact? Or people will say, you don't want people coming here. Why must we go? We don't have houses. How do you then...
our housing project, if you can check them, it's no longer that pressure because people don't want to use that formal approach. Because there is a clear syndicate that is using informal settlements, just like we have illegal mining, as a new economic tool to enrich people. Because people pay for sites, they pay for water, they pay for all these things. So it's a huge market. So we need to stop it, nip it in the bud. But who leads it? Majority is not South Africans, which is very unfortunate. And I don't want to sound xenophobic, but what we need is to stop that trend, where people believe they can go and recruit and come and just establish. It's such lawlessness. What is the impact? Do you see the traffic lights functioning? No, because people go and disrupt that and take the cables and do all these things. So we've invested in that satellite tracking system to assist us. But CBD, Johannesburg, you go to Paris, you marvel at the city. I mean, Paris might be far. You go to Cape Town, you marvel at the city. It's functional. It's happening. It's pumping. You come to Johannesburg, it's an embarrassment. The same approach we've taken on Johannesburg, don't make noise. Approach strategic partners, work with them, ensure that they commit. Transnet have committed.
Okay.
Yeah, we've committed from our housing department because we really believe the immediate turnover is to create houses in the CBD. Apartments, flats, student accommodation, and all those kind of things. So we're taking over Carlton Hotel. The old Carlton Hotel has been abandoned. We've taken it over as a provincial government. Transnet is coming back to Carlton Center. APSA is still there. So we've spoken to strategic centers. We can't do boom change immediately everything. So the Carlton Center precinct, it's our first area of intervention. We are putting 2,400 law enforcement agencies, 24 hours. We've put CCTV cameras on the small street already. It's not we are going to. We've put them already. We're creating a forum. We'll meet every week with a new executive mayor of Johannesburg every week on how we're revitalizing Johannesburg. I'm waiting for the report of the Hampepe report. It was specifically to check the hijacked buildings. So there are recommendations. We are ready to implement them so that those hijacked buildings can be repossessed and owners that don't come forward when we request them to, we have to collapse those buildings and have the cranes. When last time do you see a crane in the CBD?
I can't remember myself.
Exactly.
It
must happen in our lifetime. It must. And I'm more determined to deal with this thing. I'll personally chair that committee that will be working on these matters.
Well, how do we find ourselves here, though? I mean, Joburg, CBD, not long ago, it was happening. It was the place to be. Everyone wanted to be there. When you come to Joburg from the village.
Yes, you want to go to Joburg.
Now you don't even want to set foot there. How do we find ourselves here?
Well, it's a combination of many things. The mall market took over like fire. But also we left crime to people that own these properties to fight crime on their own, and they lost hope. They were overpowered. It's not only the CBD. I know we are focusing on the CBD. You go to Yeovil, you go to Melville, you go to they are suffering the same fate, where people are taking over houses and all other things. So, but let's focus on Johannesburg for now. We're expanding Gautrain to go to Springs. So the next town, it will be Springs, so that we can bring back that city. Because Springs is strategic, you know. If you go to Delmas and if you check the land availability in that particular area for farming, we can create some economy there. We just need to strengthen that particular aspect. But where we stand, Johannesburg CBD is a big price. Risky. Our credibility can be shattered. Because if you can't get it right, there's nothing that people will believe us to. So, but we're entering that space with our eyes open. We know it's a risky project, but I've taken risky projects before in my life. No one believed that we'll have the one that is paying grants, SASA. We took that responsibility from provinces and centralized it. It's happening, it's functioning. No one believed Ekuruleni. I mean, Ekuruleni, we have so many municipalities. We've got one municipality now. So we've taken such big projects before. But the Johannesburg one, I must be honest, scary. I feel that it can be undertaken.
So maybe, Premier, thank you so much for taking us deep into your plans. Yeah. I mean, you just delivered this hope. Very important. Yeah. People are looking forward to what you unveiled. But I just wanted to maybe speak a bit more about you. When your tenure ends as Premier, what do you want to be remembered as? What is your vision for when you lay down the gauntlets to say, guys, this is it for me? What would you like to be?
I always despise the question. I follow Harry Kwalat to say, if Harry Kwalat was still alive, will he accept the situation that we're in? Or if Mandela was still alive, will they vote for the ANC and other things? I'm one person that is practical. I mean, when I carried the project to revive a soccer team called Moroka Swallows, no one believed it. So I want to be a person that people can say, hey, where impossible was the order of the day, he made it possible. Where things were tough, he made things easy. Where there was hopelessness, he brought hope. But it must not be on the basis of me being Banyaza Lesotho. It must be on the basis that I worked with an organization that I cherish, appreciate, and love so much called the ANC. In the absence of the ANC, I don't think I'll be what I am. And in the absence of the collective that we work on, I don't think that the things that I'm doing will be. But also in the absence of my parents. You know, my parents were very protective of me. It's only now that I realize they saw something in me that I didn't see myself. Yeah. You know, I remember when I was in primary school, the doctor said I had some disease that would force my mother every Wednesday to take me to the clinic, literally. And my mother didn't fail. Sometimes it will be me who says, no, mama, like really last week, why is it on terrible this week? But She was very patient to do that. And I'm saying if she was not patient, she skipped, and that disease developed to be something, I'll not be here today. And I'll not do what I'm doing. So it's a combination of many things. So that's why I despise when somebody confine it to one person, forgetting that it's a combination of many things that made and shaped who I am. And I mean, when I grew up, I used to say, "Maramudim, aungani man, wangkalo yholo, arkiti man." But one see, ana, but I didn't know Mudimu nam prepare or kito yezan to singa tanga tanga. So you need a bigger head to accommodate
all of this. Thanks for that laughter. Maybe as we end, that point. I speak about, it's basically about your legacy that you want to leave. I mean, it looks like it's something very close to you.
It is. You know, yesterday when there was that parade, when I was observing the parade, I couldn't resist to appreciate them. Because it's an idea when we planted it, they will tell you. Mm-hmm. Everyone dismissed it. It's not possible to see them in uniform, to see them in that on that line with other law enforcement agencies. That was Adomi. And you enter that Katlehong, every corner, you see this young man there in their uniform, committed. There's 2,000 that is graduating in 2 weeks' time, that are graduating. And it will bring to almost 10,000 of these young people who 18 months ago, they were unemployed. 18 months ago, they were frustrated. Today, even when I don't see them, when I pass in town, I walk alone, you know, they will stop me to say, Premier, I want a plastic. It's full of goodies because of your ideas. If it was not you, I will not have this. I'll be turning around with the sun every day. So that is at homing. And we just need to strengthen them. We did them against all odds. People didn't love them, didn't appreciate them. You know, I was quoted to say it's illegal to have these things, but we persevered. Here they are, and I'm glad the new ministers coming to our province will engage on that one, because I really believe these 10,000 people, if they can be properly trained, properly armed, properly given, at least will push back crime in our province. Yeah.
And then maybe on the political aspect, what is your view on the government, not of provincial unity, but of national unity? I ask this because there was somewhere an expectation that it will trickle down to the province, and that was not the case. There was toing and froing, many meetings. Some of them, Helen Zille herself came, and your secretary general came. What is your view on that? And did you feel that, you know, you don't want to force to include the DA in your government of provincial unity?
How many times I invited you to a press conference to announce cabinet and I didn't? That on its own is an indication that was not an easy thing. I think I'll go into history book to be the last person to announce a cabinet in the country. And that was not an easy thing. It's because it was a new thing. We've never been in this hot house before. It has its own limitations. And but it's given an alternative face to government of national unity. That you can establish government if other political parties feel they can hold you ransom, you can go ahead without them. And that's what we've demonstrated. It's not the ideal way, but it's something that was necessary. And the mere fact that of the 11 political parties in the legislature, 8 of them voted for a budget is an affirmation that sometimes you don't need a structured relationship. You need a relationship that you can harness. You need a relationship that you can invest on it. I mean, the state of the province address yesterday, I have to call, if whoever was there will tell you for the first time, I have to call other political parties and read the speech. Read this before I deliver it. It's never happened. But I read the speech almost in an hour.
You were able to deliver it.
To say, is it correct? Does it represent all of us? So that they're not surprised when I deliver the speech. And it's a new thing. So we have to adapt. So it's, as I'm saying, it's not a structured relationship that prosper. Even unstructured relationship can prosper if you invest in it and put emotions to it. And I mean, MK Party will come to me and say, Premier, we are not part of the former structure, but we believe X, Y, Z must be done. And you listen to them. And EFF, fortunately, we had a relationship with EFF from local government long time. So we that is why I must be honest, I'm deeply hurt with the departure of Floyd because majority, if not all the negotiations, it was between myself and him. And if you check how we've established the relationship in our province, against all odds, against insults from both in the ANC and society, but we've put governments that were stable, and his departure hopefully will not disrupt the rapport that we have with EFF, because it's not a partnership, it's a rapport. That how do we relate, how do we work on some
is it this particular issue. Is it translating now, that relationship?
Yeah, into, it is in the provincial the government. Right? Yeah, in provincial government, it is. So we've managed to develop the necessary skill. It's not easy. We insult each other. We do, but at least the basic is intact. So it goes back to our question of government of national unity, that it was a necessity. It was dictated to us by voters. We have to align to it. And I think our president did well. Actually, there's someone who says that the ANC went to hunt for a hare, but they got a buffalo out of the negotiations. Because all of us were down and out to say this power is gone. But if you check how it's structured now, the ANC still have an upper hand to the irritation of many people that felt that they finished the ANC. So we just need to use it as a tool to determine whether we salvage the ANC or we destroy it further. So at the provincial level, I'm comfortable with what we have. I think we'll carry the next 5 years. But if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and then we'll leave it there.
But do you think the ANC made the right call with the GNU in its current form, personally?
What alternative did you have? Mm-hmm. Because the alternative was severe. If you didn't establish that government, just imagine public service workers not being paid. Catastrophic. Nurses not being paid, doctors not being paid, teachers not being paid, because there's no government, there's no budget. So the alternative was catastrophic. So we had to soldier and find out something that can salvage the situation. As I said, heads off to our negotiators. I think they did well. Obviously, something of this magnitude, there'll be areas with hindsight, said, no, this one we should have managed it differently. But the mere fact that we've got government and the mere fact that we've got the excitement of some of the new ministers is an indication that it was necessary. But we're drifting apart as South Africans, to be quite frank. white people were voting for white parties. Black people were voting for black parties. Indians were voting for Indians. So to have this everyone now, under one roof, I think it also brings South Africans generally together as well. So I think our negotiators did well. I will forever cherish that. It's just unfortunate that in our province, it didn't go that route, but we still have an organization that can still engage and assist us.
And in terms of the fact that you find yourselves here,
yeah,
as Gauteng, as the ANC nationally,
yeah,
where you need to coalesce with other parties to convene government. What does that mean for you guys? Do you see yourselves recovering? I mean, people are saying, you know, South Africa will never have a majority party that wins elections outright anymore because of what we're seeing now. This is it for us. This is the future of the country. Would you agree with someone who says that?
I don't. What I can say, what has transpired, it has given an ANC a last chance. It is how the ANC responds to it that will determine whether indeed we can still have a majority party in our country. My argument, I mean, I've just concluded my speech for the Lekgotla and the special PC over the weekend. And my political input is very simple. The ship is sinking. The ship is sinking. The problem is instead of identifying why the ship is sinking so that we can stop to sink, we are squabbling over who must own the ship. And whoever that can own that particular ship, unfortunately, will inherit a sinking ship. It will be meaningless. So it's something that we need to drill in our minds, that this ship is sinking. The sooner we realize that and save it, the better.
But how can you save it?
Say what?
How can you save the sinking ship?
No, we can. We can. The ANC is the only movement that is capable to save South Africa. What we need in the ANC is to remove things that we know that have been tabled before. I mean, you go to Polokwane, 2007, and read the political report of President Thabo Mbeki. He outlined our limitations and challenges, but at that time, I was part of that team. We didn't even want to listen to that. We attempted even to mobilize people that they must not present, you must just go to elections. So you go to, it's the policy conference, Vuyo will assist me, where SGP, that Gwede Mantashe, tabled the diagnosis report.
Yes.
It's there. Lights, great lights were flashing. Avoid this. I'm a fanatic of political lectures because political lectures take you out of a collective. You must deliver a political lecture as a person.
Yeah.
And if you check the political lectures of people like Paulo Jordan, Joel Netshitenze, they were raising issues. So our ability not to listen for purpose of learning and changing the situation, but to listen to argue, to listen to differ, to listen to shout, has plunged us to where we are. And to save that particular ship, we need to revisit that. It can't be business as usual, and that's what scares me. That we have lost power, but we still behave as if nothing happened. This thing was groundbreaking. Actually, this thing was the end of the ANC. It was the end of the National Democratic Revolution. But we still behave as if, no, we survived, we're still in power, we walk the way we walk, we do it. I mean, if I can ask you, give me one thing after we've lost elections that you yourself are convinced that the ANC has learned. Check their behavior now. You'll struggle to pinpoint that. And that's the message I'm taking to the PEC, to say, let society see changes out of our conduct, our behavior, and other things. You know, when I grew up, a taxi driver was the most popular person because, you know, you park at KFC, buy KFC, and you are cherished. But you mention a taxi driver today, who listens to you? Actually, my daughter said this to me one day, and after elections, I looked at her. He said to me, you know, Papa, when I walk around with you, when people say I favor Sundowns, Chiefs, Pirates, when you say you favor Swallows, people laugh at you. But you must be careful. The way people are laughing at you when you say you favor Swallows, next time when you say you support ANC, people will laugh at you like that. I mean, that's my daughter that's saying. And my father said, you know what I love to buy ANC? With Ale Apple, instead of you sharing Apple, no matter how many pieces, you fight over that thing until that Apple ipsatleha. You must avoid that. That's where we are. So I'm just saying the signals have been there all over. But we argued to differ rather than argue to understand and build this move. But this giant will rise. I believe in it. I always say, if people like Joel Netshitenze, if people like Thabo Mbeki, if people like Mama Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma and Naledi Pandor are still at the center of the ANC, this ship can sink. But it's how quick we save the ship that will determine our capabilities.
Premier, thank you very much.
Thanks for your time.
I took thanks longer than we had expected, but thank you so much for availing yourself to the Sunday Times Politics Weekly.
You must thank B for bringing me life to you and to your readers, because without B, I would not connect it with you and your readers.
Thank you very much. B is Bulelani, our podcast person. Thank you so much.